should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.
Thank you. I believe the children are able to go back now. My kids are happy because now they can go back, and Simeon does not have to wear that suit coat anymore. The joys of having a six-year-old in the house is amazing. But as they go out, I just want to say thank you for having us at Missions Conference. I always enjoy Missions Conferences, and I enjoy them when I don't have to preach all the time. I get to hear other people preach. We've had some great messages so far. I really appreciated the message on Wednesday about crossing the lines. And as I sat there and listened to that message, I thought, we've had to cross every one of those lines to go to Bulgaria. And it's interesting because he mentioned the pushback that you get, and it's the part that sticks out to me. And my dad and my mom didn't give us pushback. My mom's pushback was, we'll never get to see the grandkids. But that was all the pushback she gave. But most of the pushback has come when I'm on the phone, making phone calls, trying to schedule meetings, and that's where the discouragement for us has come. So as we're looking at next year, starting to schedule, and yes, I've been pretty bad. I haven't scheduled my next year out yet. But as we start that process, just pray for us that that discouragement doesn't come, because that is one of those areas that can get discouraging really quick. I was going to say the Pontiuses, I know they're making phone calls and going through all that too. Pray for them that as they make phone calls, they don't get discouraged, because it is easy to do that. You call 100 pastors, you talk to 3, maybe 5. That gets discouraging. Out of those 3, you're not good enough in some area for them. You might get 1 of those 3 to schedule you a meeting. And so I just say, pray for us as we make those phone calls. It's an area of need. As I think about that, and as I think of our film that we just showed, it gives a bunch of statistics. And after doing this film, you always find one of those statistics that you wish you would have had for the film. But one of the statistics that I found was based off of the number of Bibles that have been passed out in Bulgaria and some of the things that have happened, but they had an estimate for the number of true born-again believers inside of the country of Bulgaria. So we have 75% are Bulgarian Orthodox, and Bulgarian Orthodoxy has its own set of issues. They hate the Word of God. They hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't want to see that preached. To the point where they put out a statement that if you take a Bible from these missionaries coming into our country, you'll lose your soul to hell. They hate God's word. And that's what I had to come down to. Then you get the Sunni Muslim population, and I don't know too much about them, probably a group I should study, but I studied Orthodoxy because we're primarily going to be ministering to Bulgarians, and they're primarily going to be Orthodox. And so we have that population of Sunni Muslims, and then you find 12% of atheists are atheists, and I mentioned it in the video, or my daughter did, but that 75% that are Orthodox, they function as atheists. They don't have a belief in God. And that comes down to communism. Communism did a good job of wiping out any belief in any God. And with that being the case, they functionally don't know anything. They don't know what church is. They don't know what orthodoxy even teaches. And communism, quite frankly, wants them that way. However, the people that are open to the gospel are not your orthodox people. We got stopped by a mayor in a city, a village, and he called the police on us, and those police kicked us out of the village. We were distributing literature to start a church, and as we distributed it, and as we talked to those police officers, 3 of them showed up, 2 of them were Orthodox, and the second they found out we were Baptist, they were done with us. They were ready just to kick us out. They'd have done more if they could have. I'm glad their captain, who was with them, didn't have that mindset. He was an atheist. And it was interesting. In our interaction, he shows up. It was me and my wife and my daughter. We don't know any Bulgarian, and the police know basic Bulgarian. He goes, "It'll be okay." And that was about the extent of the English he knew. "You'll be okay." And that's all I got from him. But when we left that interaction, this atheist police officer asked the missionaries we're working with, can I have that track? Can I have that invite to church? Because I don't want it for a case. I'm not going to put it in a file, but I want to read it. The door was open. Even though they kicked us out of that village. Even though it makes it harder to go back into that area. It was just interesting to see that. But as you progress on, then you find a number of 3% of other religions. And that includes everything you'll find in the world. Well, this number I found comes out of that 3% is 1.7% of Bulgarians they believe to be true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1.7. If we take 1.7 to 7 million, what we find it is roughly 117,000 believers. It's not very many. The country needs missionaries to go in and to preach the gospel in Bulgaria. That's what our family is striving to do, to go and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that will get us kicked out of villages, the gospel that the Orthodox Church doesn't want preached, but it's the gospel that they need preached to them. And that's what we are striving to do. We're going to a country where it seems like as we go to preach the gospel, we're going to have a lot of pushback. Some people would say, why would you go there? It seems irresponsible. It seems like a hard place. I mean, my message tonight is buying fields when it seems to make no sense. And let me tell you, my family has decided to purchase a field that really doesn't make a lot of sense to go purchase. But we're going to purchase it because God called us to go purchase that. He called me as a believer in Christ to sell everything that I had. And let me tell you, that was an interesting road to cross. We're going to sell our house and move into a camper full time. We're going to quit our job and security's gone, yeah. And you're going to go purchase a field called Bulgaria? What a choice. By the way, the Pontiuses are doing it with Mexico. The Stars are doing it, as we saw in their video, worldwide, the impact that they're having. So all that you have to go win souls for Christ. That's what the missionary call is. But let me just tell you, you know, the Lord calls us to buy these fields, and he calls churches to purchase these fields as missionaries get sent out. And it's our opportunity as a church to come alongside missionaries and buy fields. And this is something I love to preach. It's honestly a message I've preached many times. And as I think of it, I can't help but think of a young man in Bulgaria who bought himself a field. You might say, well, how did he buy his field? Well, he was a young man, and he was walking around the city by the name of Plovdiv. Plovdiv is the oldest city in Bulgaria, the oldest city in all of Europe. It has approximately 8,000 years worth of archaeology underneath that city. If I think about it, that means it had to have been founded and started right after the Tower of Babel. A very old place. But he was walking around this city, and this city, if we jump forward from 8,000 years to the time of Christ, was a city by the name of Philippopolis, and you could draw your conclusions from that. It was a chief city of Macedonia. I won't say it's the chief city that Paul went to, but the Bulgarians say it is, so I'm going to side with the Bulgarians and say it was Philippi. There's some evidences for that, and by the way, that goes against what our history teaches us. But if it is in fact the city where Paul went and planted a church, and Ivo, a young man walking around this city, you would think there'd be a gospel witness there. You'd think there'd be a gospel witness there. Let me just tell you, there was a gospel witness for Ivo. Ivo found a gospel tract, and he read that tract, and he got saved because he realized he was a sinner in need of a Savior, repented of his sins, and asked Christ to save him. A wonderful testimony. It's been brought up already, but, you know, taking a tract and laying it somewhere is an effective way to witness. And maybe you witness that way to somebody that you'd never have an opportunity to otherwise. Pastor, I'm sorry if you get a phone call from somebody at a truck stop because I left your track there. But I'll just be honest. Take them to truck stops. Leave them in the restroom stall. Leave them wherever you can. I won't recommend this to everybody, but you know those cases of Moxie that you all have. Take a track and shove it down inside of there. Maybe as they're drinking that Moxie, they'll read the gospel and get saved. I will not say that I have not done that before, because I have, but might not be the best method to use, but use your own judgment. But the fact is we need to get the gospel out there, and we need to use any means. So Ivo finds a gospel tract, he reads it, gets saved, and decides the next thing a Christian is supposed to do is they're supposed to find a church to go to. So Ivo started searching for a church in his hometown of Plovdiv, a place where Paul possibly started a church. And you know, Ivo spent 8 years searching for that church, and he never found it. 8 years after Ivo's salvation, he moved to a place called Sofia, the capital of Bulgaria currently. And he was on Facebook, and some people love Facebook, some people hate it. I love to hate it. I'm on there, but I don't care for it that much, but I'm still on there. But as he was scrolling through Facebook, he found an ad for a Bible Baptist church in what I'm just going to call Gypsy Land, Bulgaria. Now, Ivo is an ethnic Bulgarian, and ethnic Bulgarians do not mix with the Gypsy. They hate each other. But let me tell you what Ivo found. He found his treasure. He hid it in that field. And as Scripture talks about the young man, he sold all that he had, and he is going after that treasure. He purchased that field. How did Ivo purchase it? Well, Ivo is attending church faithfully. He's gone to every service that he can. Ivo has to walk 30 minutes to get to that service because the bus system won't take him there all the way. And so he walks there Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights. Ivo also walks there on Saturdays to go out soul winning with the Gypsies. It's amazing. Ivo found his treasure and he went out and purchased that treasure, purchased that field. Ivo goes out, but he also has a desire to see churches planted inside of Bulgaria. It was interesting as he talked about Plovdiv and his desire to see a church planted in his hometown. Who's going to go to Plovdiv and plant a church? He asked me that, but then the next question he asked me was, why haven't missionaries come to Bulgaria? I had a question back for him, and my question was, why don't missionaries that come stay? That's what I wanted to know. And he gave me an answer, but the thing that sticks out to me is that Ivo found his treasure, and he went and bought that field. He's buying it as he's active there in the church. I say all that, Bulgaria has a great need, and sometimes we're called to buy fields when it seems to make no sense. For Ivo, it doesn't make sense. A Gypsy church, any other Bulgarian would tell you he doesn't belong there. And yet he's there, purchasing a field when it makes no sense. And we too can purchase fields when it makes no sense. Let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 32. Here in Jeremiah chapter 32, what we find is a man, a prophet of God, being told to go buy a field. And let me just tell you, as we read through this passage, we're going to make the same statement that I've just made. It makes no sense why he's purchasing this field. It makes no sense because Jeremiah is in prison. He's prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. He's in a bad situation, and yet God came to him and said, buy this field. What do we find Jeremiah doing? Buying the field. He purchased it even though it made no sense at that time. As I look at Jeremiah's time frame and I look at our times today, as I grew up, it was always preached that Christ is coming back. If the apostles were in the last days, then we've got to be in the last minutes. Let me just say, if we were in the last minutes when I was growing up and younger, then we've got to be in the last seconds. Christ is coming back. And if we look at it from that perspective, what good does it do to purchase a field? Well, our response should be the same as Jeremiah's here. And that's what I want to look at is his response and make some application to missions as we look through this passage. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 32. We're going to read verses 1 through verse 9, and then we're going to jump down and read verses 17 through 21. The verses that we're going to skip is just an accounting of Jeremiah's purchase, and it's really we get an account of it, and then we get a second account of it, and then we get his response, and that's what I want to look at is his response specifically. But starting in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 1, God's word tells us this. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadrezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. And Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. This point, let's skip on over to verse number 17, where Scripture again says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for the call to buy fields when it seems to make no sense in this illustration of Jeremiah. Lord, just be with us here tonight. Apply your word to our hearts. Lord, allow this to be a help to the church here this evening. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've already looked, we find Jeremiah being told to purchase this piece of ground. It really isn't a good time to be purchasing land in the nation of Israel. They're about to be destroyed. They're about to be taken captive into Babylon, as we know it, looking at the history, where the king was going to look face to face with Nebuchadrezzar, or Nebuchadnezzar, as we know it. And yet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him, buy this field. What is Jeremiah's response? Well, initially, his first response in verse number 8 is, at the very end, it says, Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Jeremiah knew that his purchase of this piece of ground was the word of the Lord. He was supposed to do it. So what does he do? He goes and purchases the field in a very bad situation, in a very bad time. And he purchased it, and it was a good purchase. And he comes back, and his first statement after that is, Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. But he recognized that this was the Lord's plan. Not his plan. I'm sure if he looked at it, he would have said, No, I don't want that piece of ground. That's not a wise decision, but it's a wise decision if God tells you to do it. And so he comes out and says, I know that this is the word of the Lord. And let me remind you, as we make application for us here today, we know that the word of the Lord is for us to be doing missions. Acts 1 and verse 8 tells us the Great Commission. Tells us that we're to be witnesses. Let's turn there real quick. Acts 1 and verse number 8. I love this. This is God's plan for the church, what we are supposed to be doing. And it's a great plan, and it's a great plan because it's Christ's plan. And I could say the same thing as Jeremiah as I look at it. It's a great plan. It's a mighty plan. I could see God's power working through this plan. But what we find in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 is this: "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, we've all probably heard thousands of messages on this. I know I have. And it wasn't until I read a little booklet that I had this kind of awe moment, I guess you could say, of this is what this is talking about. There's one word in here that oftentimes we forget. It says, "And ye shall be witnesses." We know what a witness is. It's a person that goes out and tells what has happened to them. We've been saved. We have a story we can go and tell. Christ saved us from our sins. But then it goes on, it says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." And we have this next word. It says, "both." Both. How many churches have I been in? They say, "Well, we aren't even reaching our Jerusalem, so why should we be reaching the world?" We should be reaching both, not just one. And why? Because it's God's plan. As a church, we should be reaching a Jerusalem. We should be reaching a Samaria. We should be reaching the uttermost parts of the world. That is what this command is telling us. And the word is both. Not first in Jerusalem. Then go to Samaria. But we find Jerusalem. So just to make application real quick out of this, our Jerusalem is the area we live in. We live currently. I know I don't physically live here all the time, but home is wherever my camper is. So I live in Auburn, Maine right now. So that's where my camper is. We will be over in Corinth, Maine on Sunday. That's where my camper will be. That'll be home. So we have a Jerusalem we are supposed to reach. Then Christ gives a second place of a Samaria, and I've come to the conclusion none of the apostles wanted to go to this place called Samaria. We know Philip did. And there was a great work done in Samaria. But nobody wanted to go there, so I asked myself, where do I not want to go? Now, let me just tell you, there's some places here in the United States of America that come to mind quite quickly. Honestly, New England isn't on my list, but I don't want to go to Chicago. Who wants to go there and plant a church? I don't want to go to L.A. That place needs the gospel. Quite frankly, I don't want to go to New York City. I'll call these our Samarias, the places we don't want to go. And yet we get a word that we're to go to both and preach the gospel, to be witnesses. We go on from there and we find the uttermost part of the earth. And this is where most of us know we're sending out missionaries and we partner, we come alongside of them and we give money through our local church, through oftentimes Faith Promise. I've seen this missions grace giving, and I've asked pastors, what is that? And I get told it's Faith Promise. We just don't like calling it Faith Promise, so we call it missions grace giving. But it's the same thing, but we do it through giving through our local church. By the way, that's God's plan for you to do it through your local church. As a missionary, I don't come asking you to individually support me. It's not my goal. If you're going to support me, do it through your church here. That is God's plan. And that's what we know as missions. And let me just say that's God's plan. And we as Jeremiah can start out by saying, "Oh, Lord God." Let's look at Jeremiah's response back in Jeremiah chapter 32. Again, we're going to make more application out of this, but first we see God's plan. We can also see that we serve a God of great power. And if we understand that we serve a God of great power, then we can purchase fields when it seems to make no sense. We could take that step of faith and purchase them. Jeremiah comes out and he says in verse number 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousand, and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers into the bosoms of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name." Those verses right there are talking of God's power. We serve a God of great power. Jeremiah comes and he recognizes this. He's saying, Lord, you're sovereign. There is absolutely nothing too hard for you. After all, you created the heavens and the earth. You created everything that we see. And if I remember right, Romans chapter 1 tells us that if we just look at creation, we know there's a God. We know that there's a God. Friends and family around us don't seem to know that there's a God. What's wrong with them? Let me just remind you that they choose not to retain the knowledge of God. They choose not to retain that. And so they chase after evolution. They chase after other things. But we still serve a God with great power. Just because they don't believe in him doesn't mean he's lost any power. He has a power. That verse there is so great. And as I think about that power, let me remind you that when the Great Commission is given, each time it talks about the power from on high, the power that is going to be given, the Holy Spirit that was given to those men on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit that is given to us when we ask Christ to be our Savior. We have great power as we go out in missions. We have great power as we go out here in our Jerusalems. We have great power as we send missionaries to Samarias. We have great power as we go to the world. Why? Because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's great power. That Holy Spirit still has the same power he had on the day of Pentecost. And while I don't believe he works in the same way, it'd be great if I could speak in tongues when I get to Bulgaria. If I could just all of a sudden preach the gospel in the Bulgarian language. But I don't. God doesn't work that way. That which is more perfect is come, the Word of God. And so he doesn't work that way, but we still have that same power indwelling us. When we realize that, let me just say this, that when we realize we serve a God of great power like Jeremiah understands, then we can start to reach out to the lost people here in our Jerusalem. We can reach out to them. We can do that through soul winning. We can do that through handing out tracts. We can do that by telling friends and families of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that at work. Nobody likes that one, by the way. It's hard to share the gospel at work. I worked for the federal government for 10 years. It's hard to share the gospel at work. But yet we're still called to share. And we have a power from on high that's with us as we share. I got opportunities to reach out to the lost. I witnessed to psychologists who wanted nothing to do with God. I was given a response, I wish I could believe the way you do. Simple, they can. They just choose not to. But our opportunity is still to reach out to the lost that are around us. That includes work. It includes acquaintances. It includes the bank teller I only see once in a while. We should be telling them about the gospel. If we understand, like Jeremiah, of God's great power, we can reach the lost here in our Jerusalem. We can plant new churches in our Samarias, and we can send out missionaries. By the way, as I say that, I don't just mean partnering with missionaries. Do you believe God could call somebody out of this room to be a missionary? I often think of that, and I've heard the statement to me, well, it's so nice to hear the young people, see the young people here going to the foreign field. What if God were to call you to go to Bulgaria? Would you have the faith to go? If we understand we serve a God of great power, then we could go to Bulgaria. And we could send a missionary from here to do that. That's amazing to think about. We must further seek the power of God and the Holy Spirit, and he will enable us and guide us to accomplish his missions in Acts 1:8. And when we understand his power, then we can confidently buy new fields. Because we understand his power. But we can also confidently buy new fields because we understand that we are linked to God's great purpose. We're linked to God's great purpose. Jeremiah, as he purchased this field, he comes back with a second response in verse number, I got to look at it here, verse number 19, he says, great in counsel and mighty in work, For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Jeremiah comes and says, God, you're great in your counsel. You're great in your purposes. I wonder if Jeremiah didn't understand his purchase of that field was being a kinsman redeemer. He was redeeming that field for a kinsman. And as that kinsman redeemer, as he purchased it, it was a picture of what Christ was going to come and do here on earth. As he had it recorded, and I know we skipped that section, but as he had it recorded, I wonder if Jeremiah realized Israel's coming back one day. And the kinsman redeemer is going to come and purchase that field. By the way, if we look at it from that sense, the Lord Jesus Christ came and purchased Israel, and they rejected him. You want to talk about a field that makes no sense? I'm glad he did it. I'm glad that the field was purchased was the whole world, and he offers me salvation. But I wonder if Jeremiah realized this as he was purchasing this field. The purposes were greater because it was God's purposes, not his. As I think to that, and I think back to missions, we must too understand God's purpose for the nations. And we discover that in his word. We discover that in our Bibles. And if we were to go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, what we find God's purpose is that he is going to redeem and call unto himself a people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There is going to be somebody from heaven from every nation in the world. Not just nation, it goes backwards. We take it back to every language that is spoken, to every kindred, to every people that there is. There's going to be somebody in heaven from there. This is God's purpose, not my purpose. My purpose is to go see some Bulgarians and preach the gospel, see some of them saved, and that's a part of God's great purpose. It's a part. There's a great need there. But we need to understand that as Christians, we're linked to God's great purposes. We're linked to his purpose. We've already looked at his plans. How does God support missions? He does it through the giving of the local church. God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. Some people should probably be praising God for that. God doesn't call everybody to be an evangelist. God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor. He calls some of us to be sheep. He calls some of us to come and minister in our local church. He calls some of us to give. We get into spiritual gifting. He calls all of us to something. And what God calls us to do, he gifts us to do. And we should be using that gift within his church because it's linked to God's great purposes. Part of that is giving. And we've mentioned that. We see that it's giving to missions. It's purchasing a field, per se. And we can purchase a field if we understand that it's linked to God's great purpose. And if we understand that, then we must zealously pursue God's purposes, even when it seems illogical. And if we do that, if we pursue God's purposes, then we can confidently buy fields when we have faith in God's great performance. God said he's going to do it. We have a book right here that is full of God doing what he said he would do. Jeremiah mentions this in our passage. He will go to verse number 20 and 21, which I have marked in here. It says, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. By the way, we'll just pause there. God set signs and wonders. He told Moses what he was going to do, and he did it. He had told Abraham what he was going to do, and he did it. He told Abraham that that nation would end up in Egypt. They'd be there for a time, and then he'd bring them out. And God did it. He performed it. Let's go on. It says, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt, with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. I like how that ends there. and with great terror. God does what he says he's going to do. He will accomplish it. And Jeremiah acted in faith, knowing that what God had promised he would perform. And with that, he understood that he could purchase that field. Because what God promises, he will perform. As we move forward to buy new fields, we must trust God, believing that what he has promised, he will perform. We must move out in faith, even when it seems irrational. Why? Because as our pastor says, God's works have continued throughout today. He's still performing his purpose. What God said he will do, he will do. And when we understand that, we can purchase fields, even when we're in a recession. By the way, I find it ironic. We redefined what a recession is so that we wouldn't be in a recession, and I think now they've declared us in a recession. We met their new definition. Our economy's bad. And if we understand God's purposes, we could still purchase fields, even though it makes no sense. Even though we maybe don't know where the money's going to come from. We can do that because we take that step of faith. What God says he's going to do, he's going to do it. As I think of this, and as I my kids sing, and so often they sing, but they have one particular song they usually sing. We didn't sing it tonight, but it's Jesus Loves Them. The song starts out by saying, Jesus loves me, this is true, but he loves the whole world too. And this is his last command, take my gospel to each land. It's his last command, take my gospel to each land. The song goes on, even though we're children small, we can help him one and all. With our money and with prayers, send the gospel everywhere. Little ones to him belong, to my Savior big and strong. Help me, Lord, your love to share with lost children everywhere. Verse number 4 in the last verse says this, missions giving is one way. We are debt of love can pay. Everyone can have a part with a love gift from the heart. The chorus is, yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them. Yes, Jesus loves them, the children of the world. My kids sing it much better than I read it. But that last verse, we can have a part. We can have a part through our giving here at Anchor Baptist Church. I have fields that I'm called to purchase, Bulgaria being one of them. I have a field in Serbia that I purchased. You might say, how did you purchase that? I give money to a missionary in Serbia. Part of my reason for doing that is that when I get to Bulgaria, I've already got a missionary. My church is going to know about missions. And that missionary in Serbia is only a border away to come over and have a missions conference with. We're called to buy and purchase these fields. Have you purchased your field? That's a convicting question to answer. Have you purchased your field? As we close here this evening and come to the altar call, I just ask you the question, is God calling you to buy a new field? How do we do it? We do it through the faith promise in our local church, by giving to missions. Most of the time, there's a drive with missions conferences, but let me just ask you, have you made the commitment to purchase a new field? We're here with two new missionaries. Brother Starr already been taken on. We're just two missionaries. There's a whole world of fields out there that need purchased. And you can be a part of that. Is God calling you to purchase a field? That field can be purchased with as little as a penny. My wife's going to teach the children on Sunday morning what a missionary is off of a penny. When I teach that lesson, I usually like to give the pennies to the kids and tell them, you can go give that to missions. They can have a part. It's as simple as giving a penny. God just calls us to purchase the field. Are you purchasing the field you're called to purchase? Let's close in a word of prayer, and I'll give the time back to pastors. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this passage. Thank you for Jeremiah and his his response to buying a field, Lord. I know the circumstances were crazy, and as I look around us, our circumstances are crazy, Lord. And yet I pray that as we've went through this, we all see that we can buy these fields, even when it's irrational and it seems to make no sense. And Lord, I pray that you would apply your word to our hearts and that you would show us maybe a field that we could purchase. Lord, I pray that your word would be applied to our hearts, that you would convict us if there's conviction needed.